Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. You might recall that last night, here on this very show, we spoke to both representatives of Solidarity, a trade union who are representing more than 200 pilots who work for Fly Safair, the local airline carrier in South Africa. And what they described was the fact that they had reached a deadlock in terms of their negotiations regarding two themes. One, a wage negotiation, where the pilots are requesting a 10.5% increase in the first year, whereas Fly Safair is offering 5.7% from what was shared. Coupled with that, there's a concern around their lifestyle and balance with work. Essentially, their roster, there's been amendments to how they put together the roster, and essentially when the pilots are notified regarding time off that they will have from work. Those are two of the themes that Solidarity shared with us as their grave concerns with the airline. We spoke to both entities to give us some feedback with regard to the strike action, and what was confirmed was that by 2 o'clock today, should they fail to reach an outcome with the CCMA, a strike certificate will be issued. Well, it's 22 minutes after 6 o'clock, and we've got an update for you from the Chief Marketing Officer of Fly Safair, Kirby Gordon.
Kirby Gordon, Chief Marketing Officer at Fly Safair. We can confirm that a strike certificate has been issued to the Pilot Union Solidarity by the CCMA. This doesn't mean that industrial action is imminent, but it could follow a 72-hour notice period from the union. We have already made adjustments to our schedule for next week in anticipation of some sort of action, and all affected customers have already been informed. We're confident that we'll be able to operate the schedule that we have published, and we thank our customers for their understanding during this important time.
That's an update regarding the strike certificate that has been issued by the CCMA towards Solidarity, essentially representing 200 pilots who work for Fly Safair. And what that essentially means, 72 hours, so potentially Monday or Tuesday, we could see potential strike action taking place regarding the airline. As Kirby Gordon has mentioned, some contingency plans have been put in place. And if you are catching a flight next week with Fly Safair, I guess best you do check the website just to understand how you might likely be impacted. It's 23 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Say what you're thinking.
WhatsApp, Google it on 4P.
063-688-0959.
On the street, on the air.
If I asked you to describe South Africa's economy, how would you? And what words would you use? For many of us, it's with a lot of discouragement, frustration, and perhaps disdain. But the truth is, fundamentally, we are an economy at work. And despite the fact that over the last few years, we've really had a sluggish performance, there are some green shoots that continue to exist. To help us unpack these figures and perhaps the perspective of an economist that we should be mindful of is Johan Els, Old Mutual Chief Economist, joining us this evening to help us take a look at the latest update and forecasts of economic growth in South Africa by Old Mutual. Mr. Els, it's always a pleasure to speak to you, and welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you so much. Good to speak to you.
Fantastic. Johan, whenever I think about the South African economy, firstly, I think that chief economists like yourself must not get much rest. I presume it keeps you up at night. But despite it, I often think of South Africa's economy, if this were a football team and we were a player, we're probably overweight with a knee injury. We are occasionally benched because of a lack of performance. And when we are on the field, we do our best to try to create goal-scoring opportunities, but we don't quite make it to the back of the net. I'm not too sure if my analogy might be out of place, but I'm keen to hear your perspective if my assumptions are correct.
Well, that works well. But also, when we play, we play. If I think about us as consumers, the surveys that we fill in, if we get asked, we say we're depressed. But when we go out and we spend. And we've seen a significant pickup in consumer spending, car sales, retail sales. And of course, this is on average for all of us, not just for certain sectors. Then we've spent significantly more since the start of last year. And the start of last year, the first half at least, was before the election, so we were all still more depressed. It was before the significant fall in interest rates and inflation that only started in the third quarter of last year. It was before people started accessing their pension fund two-pot money. Mm-hmm. And it's since then, spending has accelerated further and inflation has fallen further. And it's that drives consumer spending when inflation, so the stuff that we buy, prices rises at a lower pace than our incomes. Mm. And that gap And so, yeah, we complain. We love to complain. We never like to hear the good news, but things are slowly improving. Let's make no mistake. It's still a pretty weak economy, but the cyclical side has been kicking in. By cyclical side, I mean this lower inflation and lower interest rates.
Yep.
Plus, we've got more electricity available. So the structural issues are also, it's slow, but it's slowly improving. It's not deteriorating.
100%. Let's deep dive into those numbers and where the optimism comes from, right? Because looking at stats and data between the years 2009 and 2024, our economy expanded by an average of 1.1%. But you're saying the short to medium term is a lot more optimistic than that. Tell us how and what the metrics show.
I would temper that, not a lot more, but somewhat more optimistic.
Sure.
The easing structural constraints, and by using those fancy words, I just mean that we've got more electricity available. We're gradually making some inroads in terms of Transnet's problems with volumes on their system. So the stuff that needs to go to the ports to be exported, that's picking up a little bit in pace. And even there, private sector is getting involved more and more, as with the electricity side. So where there are these failings that we saw in state-owned enterprises that has been behind that weak growth over the past decade plus, private sector has been getting involved. Electricity, logistics, water supply, and we've seen significant easing in regulations, and Operation Vulindlela has been doing a lot of those hard lifting in terms of making it easier for the private sector to get involved in the economy. And that's what I see as driving somewhat better growth going forward.
Yes.
We never, in my mind, going to get to the 5 or 6% type of sustained economic growth rates that we actually need.
Yeah, even though that's what policy says, right?
I'm sorry?
Even though that's what policy typically says and is directed to, whether we look at the National Plan Development, NDP, or even the likes of Operation Vulindlela.
Oh, absolutely. But I think, you know, policy is being improved. It's slowly being implemented. It's all too slow for you and me. And that's why I think we'll get towards 2.5 to 3%. But to get to 5 or 6%, we've got a huge skills deficit. We've got an overly regulated labor market. And apart from municipal failure and lots of other negatives, those are the two big issues in my mind why we will probably never get to 5 or 6%. But having said that, that sounds very negative. To get from 1% towards 2.5 to 3%, that will make a big difference in terms of investment returns, in terms of profitability, at least some extra employment coming into the system.
Yes.
So it will make a difference in terms of confidence as well. And I'll happily take 3% rather than 1.
Yeah, 100%. I'm with you on that one there, Johan. Definitely needed in our economy. But with that said, I guess there's still some risk factors that we need to be cognizant of and, I guess, respond to in a manner that will be favorable to our economy. We can't ignore the geopolitical factors at an international level. Talk us through that, especially with the tariffs.
Absolutely. So tariffs, absolutely negative. Fortunately, it's not a global issue, it's a US issue.
Yes.
By that I mean less than 8% of South Africa's exports go to the US.
Hmm.
That tariffs on precious metals will not be instituted. So part of that 8% is precious metals. So it's even less than 8% that will be impacted by US tariffs. There's still this slight opportunity that we might not be subjected to the 30% on 1st of August, these ongoing negotiations. And even if it's 30%, you know, if we think about it, it's not going to fall to 0% exports overnight.
Yes.
There will be a price effect. Let's think about a wealthy US consumer that buys a $30 bottle of South African wine.
Mm-hmm.
Price will go up a little bit, perhaps not even by the full 30%, because some of those importers into the US will absorb some of the price increase. So I don't think volumes are going to fall to zero. That rich consumer of South African wine will still buy that bottle, even if it's a little bit more expensive.
Uh-huh.
So absolutely volumes will come under pressure. There will be pain for the SA economy, but our other trading partners like the Euro area and China, they're doing slightly better. So, yeah, it's a negative, of course, but it's not a question that the SA economy will go into recession because of US tariffs. But absolutely, it's a risk. What about Middle East unrest, that's a risk for the oil price. So there are lots of risks.
Got you. What about the impact that this could have on inflation? I am aware that there's calls and even conversations around the central bank, the SARB specifically in South Africa, readjusting the inflation target. Give us your thoughts on that, but also just some of the inflationary pressures or concerns we need to be mindful of.
Yes. Unfortunately, I think we are going to see inflation in South Africa drifting a little bit up towards later this year. But that's a mild updrift, and it's mostly because of the inflation has been unnaturally low in this cycle. If we look at the big drivers of inflation, oil prices, that could be driven up by Middle East unrest. For the moment, that seems fine. And if we think about extra production from OPEC, most forecasts suggest that oil prices are going to stay in the $60 per barrel.
Okay.
And even edge a little bit lower. If we think about the U.S. specifically, policies there regarding the One Big Beautiful Budget Bill Act, that's a mouthful, that's driving the dollar weaker. The weaker dollar is good for the rand. So the rand's probably going to be fairly stable combined with lower oil prices. So the inflation picture in South Africa is mild. And if we think about lower inflation target, now is probably the opportune time with low inflation, with inflation expectations lower, to get a lower inflation target instituted. Because that's going to be beneficial to all of us down the line over the next few years. Excuse me? Yeah?
Oh, yes. I was agreeing with you to say, yes, it will be beneficial to us. And on that note,
yes,
Johan,
because we'll see lower interest rates over time. We'll see lower price increases over time. So for us as consumers, that'll be great news.
100%. Given the SARB having an upcoming meeting, what are your expectations regarding their next update in at the end of July?
Yeah, I think this is the opportune time to cut rates once more. And I think it'll be the final cut in this cycle. So I expect a rate cut on the 31st of July, 25 basis point rate cut. Mm-hmm. But then because I expect the lower inflation target to be announced by Treasury sometime later this year, that rates will then remain unchanged for an extended period of time. Towards 27, 28 perhaps, and then we'll see the benefit of lower inflation then. So if we get the lower inflation target, we should see rate cuts again by 2028, so that rates by the end of 2028 will be lower than what they would have been if inflation target remained at 4.5%, for instance.
100%. I guess, Johan, to close off with something that is pertinent that you've mentioned, and we started off the conversation on that note, that as South Africans, our confidence might be low, but we sure are spenders. Given that there's continued access to two-pot distributions, withdrawals rather, and with the expectation of potentially lower interest rates, what does this mean for us as consumers, not only from a consumption point of view, but again, how that translates to growth, which you've underscored, could likely be a little bit better in the short to medium term.
Yeah. Indications are that growth is picking up a little bit. Even in the second quarter, that's already past us, but we're getting the numbers still. We haven't got final numbers yet. Mining and manufacturing production, retail sales, car sales, all were stronger than in the first quarter. The leading indicators looking forward also suggest that growth will gradually pick up later this year. Of course, this consumer spending is a big part of that. You and me as consumers, that's a big part of GDP growth. And gradually, as we see this growth continuing to pick up, we should continue to see private sector fixed investment also kicking in. In other words, producers need extra production capacity. Mm-hmm. They need more machinery, more factories, more equipment, more employees. And so that also drives then the uplift in economic growth later this year. But certainly we as consumers, things are looking okay for us, but we also need to be mindful of saving for our retirements. We mustn't spend it all.
Yes.
But certainly the spending that's happening is benefited from the lower inflation and lower interest rates.
100%. Well, at least things are looking a lot better. So I guess now you can sleep with both eyes closed tonight, right, Johan? Instead of having a sleepless one.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for your time. Really refreshing speaking to you on a more optimistic view regarding South Africa's GDP projections. That's Johan Els.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Chief Economist at Old Mutual, Johan Els, joining us this evening. And as you can tell, Els on the economy, it's looking a lot better. Well, a little better. Somewhat better is the phrase and words that Johan used. But share your thoughts with us as a South African, especially on the back of the withdrawals from Tupot. We have been seeing quite a surge in spending because South Africans do have things to take care of. It reminds me of a tweet that was actually shared with me on social media. At Sizwe Law, Sizwe Sigamusi, who actually shared a beautiful breakdown around growth in South Africa and perhaps where it's lacking, but fundamentally was substantiating his argument, again, closely to what Johan Els has shared. Growth is what we need through spending. If South Africans can actually see money moving around where it's not limited to the ultra wealthy, keeping their investments in offshore accounts outside of our borders, what we need is for all of us to have a little bit of extra cash, move that between the tills, the stores that we buy at, the investment portfolios that we have, our own consumption habits. That is what keeps the economy going. Share your thoughts with us. 063-688-0959.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.